Yeah, this, it's a, it's for the screen, so you just have to be careful in crossing.
We set out to create a space for local women and theater makers and creatives to come together and to support one another as an ensemble, but also to support one another's voices. We all, as human beings, have a lot to say, and women find themselves in many situations, whether it's professionally or personally or creatively, having to work very hard sometimes to find the space to say that. So it was our goal with Voices to just create the space. And so we were trying to do two things, to bring together an ensemble to collaborate together, but to also honor everyone's individual vision. And so we created this structure where each woman, and there are eight of them, eight performers, they each get 10 minutes on stage, and it's a space and time to create what they wish. And in that way, we're honoring each person's, we talk about the word sovereignty a lot, their autonomy and voice and vision, so the ensemble can support them if they choose to write a scene that they want to cast ensemble members in. There's a lots of great movement pieces with the ensemble. There are some pieces that are solos. And so we're all trying to hold space for each woman to say what she needs and wants to say. It's so powerful. It's been a very moving experience.
And this is a fundraiser for the organization Voices?
It is, yes. So we, Voices is putting together this project. We're paying the performers.
Okay.
You can't do a Women's Voices project and not pay women, I think. And so, you know, it's a professional piece. The money that we collect from the ticket sales will go back to help pay for the project.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So within itself, it is its own intention, essentially.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. Voices, I had understood through a previous interview with you that you really go into middle schools, high schools, and you engage kids with finding their own voice. Is this sort of foray into also working with adults something new to the organization, or has it been a part of it all along?
It's our first extended project with adults, but we've had the desire to work with adults since our beginning, which was only 2.5 years ago. So we're just now beginning our third year. And so the youth are central to who we are and what we do. But we also recognize that there are adults in our valley who we aren't hearing from as well. So we do workshops with adults. We've partnered with English in Action and Thunder River before to offer improv workshops to their student mentor pairs. We have partnered with Valley Settlement Project to offer arts workshops to their lifelong learners who are adults. But this is our first real extended program. You'll see more. You'll see more of it. And hopefully more Women's Voices projects. We're hoping this is the first annual.
Great. And how are the eight women who participate selected?
That's always very tricky for us. We began this project knowing that it was our pilot year with the intention to keep the group very manageable and small as we all pioneered together to see how this goes. It's our first time around with the process and the structure. And so we've peopled the project with teaching artists that we've worked before through our Youth Voices project. Gabriela Alvarez Espinosa is a teaching artist who's worked with us a lot, Cassidy Wiley as well. And then also women, Trary Madelone LeMay, Kristen Carlson, Barbara Reese, who have been part of the generative process of dreaming up this project. And then we've invited other folks along the way, but with the intention, if it's an annual event, that each year new groups of women will have the opportunity to take the stage. That's the hope.
Mm-hmm. You spoke to it a bit, the power of bringing these women together to share each their unique voice while incorporating the other women, perhaps as actors or movers within their production.
Yeah.
So how long have you been rehearsing, and could you speak a little bit more about the bonding experience for the people who are involved?
We started in January just getting together in people's living rooms and coming together as a group of women and sharing stories. And we started by just sharing personal stories of our experience on the planet just as human beings and what it is to be a woman in our worlds and in our lives. And really, when you offer a group of women time and space to do that, it's extraordinary what bubbles up and how many stories connect and intersect and how urgently we feel the need to share some of these things with each other. So it was a very kind of sacred time together. And then we started bringing in stories, ancient stories from many different cultures of ancient women's wisdoms. When, you know, women were the tender of the wells, we like to say, when women were responsible for passing wisdom down from generation to generation, and were honored as such. And those stories really gave us such a positive, nourishing foundation to stand on as we started writing our own pieces, or as the performers started writing their pieces for this play. We didn't want to start from a place of inequity and lack and anger, or although all those things exist, we wanted to remember that our birthright as women is grounded in these incredible stories.
You mentioned the word sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
Could you define it and mention what it means to this production?
Sure. We came across that in an old King Arthur tale, where King Arthur is challenged by the Black Knight to, he will either lose his life or he has a year to find out what women want. And so he sends his knights across the land to ask women, what do you want? And of course, the answers, there are so many different things that each individual wants, right? But they encounter one woman, this wise woman, who happened to be the sister of the Black Knight, who gives him the answer, sovereignty. And it just gives me chills, actually, even telling that story here, because there's something about sovereignty, about autonomy, the freedom to choose the direction of your life, the freedom to have power over yourself, your body, the direction that your life will take. That is so fundamentally true to my experience, anyway, and to the group of women I've been working with. And so that's just the word that really has connected us, that through this project we're honoring each other's sovereignty.
My name is Gabriela Álvarez Espinosa.
And you are one of the 8 women participating in this Women's Voices project.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about your 10-minute portion?
Yeah. I wrote a text about my mom's life, who was living in a little town in Mexico, and she got pregnant at 15 years old. And she had more kids after that, like 2 more, like 3 kids. And then she decided to leave and go to the city, to Mexico City. She left the kids with her parents, and I tell this story about why she made that decision. And yeah.
Were you one of the 3 children when you slept?
No, I was the 4th child. Okay. Which I'm talking about that 4th child in the story,
being born in the city.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. And did you have the opportunity to meet those 3 siblings?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because after that, my mom left my siblings there, but then she's able to bring my siblings with her.
Okay.
Then, yeah, when I was born, they were already living with with my mom in the city.
And what is the significance in your heart to bring this story to an audience here in Carbondale?
Everything started because I wanted to talk about women who cross the border, and sometimes they are pregnant or have kids, or sometimes they cross the border with kids, or sometimes they cross the border without, and they leave the kids in their countries, and I wanted to talk about that, but then I just started like thinking about what makes a woman want to leave, you know, and because normally, usually, it's the men who go outside and mm-hmm. who travel or whatever and go outside of the family looking for food or you know what I mean. But in this case, I wanted to know why a woman would like to just leave her house, and then thinking about that, I started like writing like maybe some like kind of motivation, mm-hmm. and when I started writing, I just realized that it was my mom's story, you know, like, and that's why I just thought about mm-hmm. my mom's story, because she didn't come here to United States, but she left where she was born to go to another place and do something different or for her own good. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So local community members may have seen you performing in a number of dance productions, including The Letter to Congress, the fashion show.
Yes, exactly.
And have you chosen to tell the story incorporating dance, or is it all done with
dance? I'm incorporating some movement, mm-hmm. some kind of dance. We are a trio moving. I am telling the story. And we have a chorus, you know, like chorus, do you say? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of women.
Oh, wow.
And are saying also things.
Is this your first time directing a piece?
Not really, because with Voices in the high school, we kind of directing
the kids,
uh-huh. some way. But this is the first time that I am creating from nothing. Not from nothing, but creating also the text and the movement and all those kind of things for my own.
What are you most looking forward to for the production this weekend?
I think I'm excited about what the audience will take of these voices, and mm-hmm. and I think that it can change someone's vision or points of view. I'm really excited to know how audience will take it.
How people might change
based on our voices, exactly. You know, like and there are like so many stories, you know, like about moms, but also about women being in the kind of jail. Or
is there anything in particular that you hope to share with people through your piece, like a message or an insight?
I wanted just to let know how patriarchy had been create a system in our society, mm-hmm. that we have this history of, you know, like that we repeat like violence and that kind of things that maybe we are not like completely aware of it, but but it exists. And it's, for me, it's like important to let know everyone that it exists, you know, and this violent society, or it is because the patriarchy, I mean, mm-hmm. we can see presidents, all the majority are men, and who is right. choosing like decisions and everything is the men. Mm-hmm. And how that repercute? Yeah, do you say like that?
The repercussions.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
In our society. And right.
I read today that for 300 years we've mostly left women out of decision making and have been lacking in our male leadership of the world, that it's missing that essential half of the whole perspective.
Yeah. And one thing that when I was younger I heard a lot was like women were not good as leaders because we are so sensitive. But I actually now I think that it's super important to be sensitive, you know, to make decision.
Right.
You cannot do just think with your brain, you know, you need also like this sensitivity to compassion for others. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share?
I just want to share that it's a really powerful piece, like a powerful performance. I think like everyone can connect with this that is happening here, just because everyone has a mom and or sisters or a wife or a friend, a daughter, that's it.
Thank you, Gabby.
You're welcome.
It won't turn off.
Light coming on.
Merci pour
la présence. Je vous remercie.